Having obtained the mercy of his spiritual master, who reveals in the disciple the injunctions of Vedic scriptures, the devotee should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the particular personal form of the Lord the devotee finds most attractive. Purport. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, the word Lakmanugraha indicates formal initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. It is stated in Tanga Purana, Satkamakano vipro mantra tantra vishtarada a Vaishnavo guru nasya Vaishnava swapacho guru. A bona fide spiritual master must be a soul surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. The actual translation is that the spiritual master doesn't matter whether it's a born Brahmana or even if he's born in family of Bhagavad Gita. If he knows the signs of Krishna consciousness, then he's a guru. In the Brahma Vaivanta Purana, it is stated, Bodha Kalushatastena Gaurat Myam Prakati Kritam Guru Yena Prayaks Yaktas Tena Tyakta Purahari. One pollutes his own intelligence and exhibits severe weakness of character when he rejects his own spiritual master. Indeed, such a person has already rejected the Supreme Lord Hari. The bona fide disciple should always remember that his entire understanding of Vedic knowledge is coming through the mercy of his bona fide spiritual master. He once superficially or whimsically accepts and rejects the bona fide Vaishnava spiritual master, sometimes becoming attracted to another spiritual master, one commits a Vaishnava parap, a great offense against the devotees of the Lord. Sometimes the foolish neophyte mistakenly thinks that the relationship with the spiritual master is meant for the sense gratification of the disciple. And therefore, in the name of spiritual aspiration, such a fool gives up a bona fide Vaishnava guru. One should understand oneself to be the eternal servant of the guru. Sri Jiva Goswami, however, has quoted this verse from the Narada Pancharatra. A Vaishnava Vo Padikshtena Mantrena Mirayan Rajet Punacha Vidina Samyak Grahayet Vaishnavat Guru. One who is initiated into a mantra by a non-Vaishnava must go to hell. Therefore, he should again be initiated properly according to the prescribed method by a Vaishnava guru. It is the duty of the bona fide spiritual master to examine carefully the qualification of the disciple, and the disciple should similarly approach a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, the foolish disciple and the indiscriminate guru may both be punished by the laws of nature. One should not artificially try to assimilate all of the apparently conflicting branches of Vedic knowledge. Conditioned souls have various conflicting natures which are engaged by apparently conflicting Vedic injunctions called Pariti and Ritima. But the easiest path is simply to learn the process of regularly worshipping Advaita Gyan, Lord Vishnu. All the demigods mentioned in the Vedas are paraphernalia for the service of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Whatever exists in the visible material world is also meant to be engaged in the Lord's service. Otherwise, it has no value. If one artificially renounces material things useful in the service of the Supreme Lord, he loses his spiritual qualification of seeing everything as meant for Krishna's pleasure, and will be forced to think of material objects as meant for his own sense of enjoyment. In other words, material things should be accepted or rejected according to the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one will fall down from the standard of pure devotional service. As stated in this verse, Lakvāgraha achayat, such discrimination can be learned when one receives the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, who reveals to the sincere disciple the practical application of Vedic knowledge. Lakvāgraha achayat, tena sandhāsutādama, mahapurusham abhyasyam, Translation again. Having obtained the mercy of this spiritual master, who reveals to the disciple the injunctions of Vedic scriptures, the devotee should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the particular personal form of the Lord the devotee finds most attractive. Om Magyana Kivandasya Kunanjana Salakya Shaksumaritam Yana Tasmai Shigaravema Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasyakare Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Nami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pichayani Nirse Sarasanya Vali Vasita Deja Kani. In my years of Krishna consciousness and preaching, one of the most amazing thing that I've heard from people is that they say we are individual, we have to find our own way. We do not need a guru. You do not need a guru to tell you what to do. You just figure it out yourself. For me, I think this is very amazing because it's very contradictory to the life that you are following. Because in every subject, every topic, they have to learn it from someone. They have to learn it from some authority. Although they make that kind of proud statement, they do not follow it themselves. In every other aspect of life, they are following someone. And they're hearing it from someone. But when it comes to the most complex subject matter, I do not need guru. I figure out myself. Now the point is, if we can actually figure out ourselves, what are we doing here in the material world in the first place? What are we doing here? If we can figure it out ourselves, we must have already figured it out. Then we wouldn't have to take repeated birth and death and go through all the different species of life, trying to figure things out. The very fact that we are here in the material world means that we haven't got it figured out. And we're not going to get it figured out for another millions and billions of lifetimes. Because the material world is very bewildering. The most of material nature is bewildering. So these statements are just made by people who are under the influence of the most of material nature. In the discussion between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he came to Jagannath Puri, and when he saw Lord Jagannath, he fainted in ecstasy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was the eminent scholar of his day, and he was actually the guru for many of the Mayavadi sannyasis, although he was a grihastha himself, very learned pandit. So he's got his brother-in-law is Gopinacharya, and Gopinacharya is a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at this discussion, And Sarvam Bhattacharya was presenting how this sannyasi is so young. I have a teaching Vedanta. He will not fix the Vedanta. He will fall down from the sannyasi because he's so young and so with such beautiful body features. And Gopinathacharya was trying to convince him that this is not just an ordinary sannyasi. It's actually the Supreme Person of Godhead. He was going back and forth. And in the end, Gopinathacharya said that he was amazed that although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was supposedly so learned, he could not understand that and comprehend that Sri Chaitanya Prabhu is actually the Supreme Lord. He was making all these wild statements. So Gopinathacharya said that one should not be bewildered or amazed by the statement of someone, or by the statement of an action of one who is under the influence of the most affected nature. The one who is under the influence of the most affected nature is capable of saying anything and is capable of doing anything. Because it's an illusion. One who is in illusion is capable of doing anything. It's just like someone who is crazy. Someone who is mentally unstable. He's capable of saying anything and doing anything. Very unexpectedly and out of the blue. He's unpredictable. And therefore when you're in the presence of such a person, you're always like, on your guard, like, oh, okay, what is he going to come up with now? What are you going to say, you know? We get that sometimes, you know, people come to CrossFit. Yeah, quiet, suddenly, woo! The same. You know, woo! What was that about? I'm sure in the preaching we meet so many people. They are not themselves. I remember there was one girl, used to come and help us out in the preaching center in Stockholm. With me and my wife, we were running the preaching center in Stockholm. And we had a kitchen that was very small, just a small room kitchen. And then close, and you know, he's in the office block. So she's cooking, my wife will be cooking the Sunday feast, and she'll be helping, this girl will be helping her inside that tiny little kitchen. And sometimes while she's cutting the vegetable, preparing something, she will say something like in a man's voice, because she was influenced by ghostly elements. I imagine my mind was freaking out inside the room. There's suddenly this girl that's very, you know. I was locked up in the room. So it doesn't matter. One may be just an ordinary person, or he may proclaim himself to be very learned. In fact, in the Mahabharata, it's described that one cannot be known as a learned scholar unless he creates his own opinions and his own philosophy. Share this video, this is interesting verse. Tatva pratishtha srutayo vidhinam nasa vishi yasya matam navinam damasya tatvam hitam tuhari mahalam yinatata satanam. Say, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. You are amongst the so-called philosophers. They create their own philosophy. And they argue and they argue and they argue and they argue, but no conclusion. One time, Prabhupada was chiding the Yudhisthiras. They had meetings and meetings and meetings. And then Prabhupada would say something like, he said, resolution and discussion and passion, but no solution. Not discussion.
excuse me, Swamiji, would you please repeat that last one? I missed that actual quotation. I didn't understand. Would you mind please repeating that last quotation from Prabhupada?
Now you're just saying, you're chiding them, just saying, so you all have spent hours and hours meeting, you make resolutions, you have discussions, resolutions, but no solutions. So, what was up? So anyway, so one has to actually be humble enough to understand that if I'm to get out of this material world, if I'm to understand what my constitutional position is, I need help. But most people in the world are so much in ignorance that they do not even hasn't even come to the point of understanding that I need help. Because they don't think they're in trouble. They know they're in trouble, but they don't realize what the cause of the trouble. Everyone thinks that the problem is a material problem. Just like now, we have all this economic turmoil around the world. And everyone is fearing this recession. In fact, recession is already settling in. And then they worry that this recession will lead to depression. The Great Depression of the 1930s in America. How do you all start? Is it a material problem? Or is it a spiritual problem? It's because of greed. So much greed. Is it the fact that suddenly money just disappeared? It's been circulating. Why does everyone suddenly think there's no money around? It's still there, it's just in someone else's pocket. You know? So it's greed. So much greed is there. And that's also how the bank and all this, it's just because of greed that it's created this situation. So actually all these problems in the material world, you see, this is a spiritual problem. It's not really a material problem. By understanding spiritual principles, and when people act according to spiritual principles, there's great abundance. There's no nothing in this world. There's so much. I always laugh when I read something or sometimes I just see in the advertisement that now the government in Victoria promoting the key number is 155. You know what the 155 is? You should use only 155 liters of water per person. You cut down your shower time from 7 minutes to 4 minutes. And then they're pushing it. In this way they think they solve the water problem. But the water problem is so easily solved. If everyone, instead of telling people to cut down on the shower time, if everyone were to eat just 1 kilo of meat less a year, there will be enough water to have their shower for the whole year. To produce, the amount of water required to produce 0.5 kilo of meat is enough for one person to have shower for 6 months. So if everyone just eat 1 kilo of meat less, there's enough water for the shower for a whole year. Is it actually a material problem? No. It's a spiritual problem. They don't understand. And because of so much vested interest. So the government touch on this and tell people to eat less meat? No, the meat industry will go up in arms. So that's a problem. As Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the world of cheaters and cheated. And the cheaters of the general mass of people have been cheated. And that is why it is so important, especially this month of December, the marathon month, the dissemination of transcendental knowledge, the distribution of transcendental knowledge, whereby people can get a bit of enlightenment, to get a bit of understanding, and come to their senses. People may be saying, oh, why pushing this on us and all this. We are not. Everywhere there's advertisement. Consumerism. Eat this, do that. We've been told all the time what to do, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, how to think. So we just adding it on, just giving a balance.
Yes.
And when we distribute this book, it's up to people how you want to take it. Some people to take the book, they put it on the shelf. Some people to take the book, they throw it away. Some people take a book and they read it. And no, I don't understand to the way. And some people take a book and they, oh wow, this is far out. And they eventually read it and contemplate on what they read. And those are the people we're searching for. So for who knows, maybe for every 10 books or 100 books in this room, maybe only one person will really, really, really truly appreciate it. But that's how we consider that a success. One at a time. One at a time. Prabhupada often considers you only can save just one person. That's a great success. So, yeah, that is the essential thing. That it doesn't matter how one tries to cut it, we just cannot avoid the point, the fact. And we need teachers, we need gurus to learn the science of Krishna consciousness. You cannot avoid it. And it is a great fortune for anyone who actually meet a guru. It's stated in the Shastra that Brahmanda Brahmite Kone Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasadivai Bhakti Natavishi. The conditions of the traveling throughout different universes, in so many different lifetimes, only by great fortune they can receive this seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. They work hand in hand. Guru and Krishna is a team. They are the perfect team, the dream team. Guru and Krishna. And together they help the disciple on the path that come back to God. One is the guru within, as Paramatma, and guru without, outside. The guru is actually the external manifestation of the super soul, to guide us. Because even if one is following the path of the Vedic path, it's still very complex. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he said, don't become bewildered by the flowery language of the Vedas. As stated also here in the third one, that conditions those are various conflicting natures which are engaged by apparently conflicting Vedic injunctions, called Praritima and Niritima. So even in the Vedas, there are so many recommendations that one can become confused. In fact, one of the whole Veda, was it Sama Veda or Rig Veda? So much, the whole section just describing as glorifying Lord Indra as a spring. Kamakanda is so much recommended. And then there's Jnanakanda, the power of speculation. Kamakanda, the power of fruity activities. So one can think, oh yeah, it's said in the scripture, we're supposed to follow the Veda. Yeah, it's said Vedas, I'm allowed to eat meat, I just have to offer it. And in fact, I heard there is one, I don't know if they still exist, but used to be one butcher shop in Calcutta. They advertised it as Kali Prasad. So please, the animals offered to Kali, Goddess Kali, so Kali Prasad. And people will start thinking, oh, it's always Prasad. Sometimes people are just not thinking, they just, oh, Prasad, that's always Prasad. I remember one time, question afterwards.
Okay.
Otherwise, it break my window. Sure. I remember we were preaching in India, in Copenhagen. We attended some Indian programs run by some Indian organization. And devotee was, in the old days, they were a bit not very, shall I say, subtle in their dealings. They would serve prasad. They don't know what to do, and then they just throw it away. You know? And their host gets offended. So when I came along on the scene, he was complaining to me, saying, no, this devotee that comes, he serves them prasad, and they throw it away. The prasad is prasad, doesn't matter what prasad. Krishna prasad, Kali prasad, Shiva prasad, all prasad. For them, it's all one. Yatavat, Tatavat, every path leads to the same goal. So that is sometimes a problem with when we do home programs, when we are not sure about the, you know, standard of the family, and they serve, and they love to serve you. So I have derived a very ingenuine method of how to avoid eating. They always love, you know, they go there, they think it's sadhu, 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 you know, and then they give you a big plate of prasad. So what I do is, I call the family member, I start with the children. Come, come, come. And I distribute. I start distributing, and they think, wow, this sadhu, sadhu, you know, maha prasad, so they appreciate that very much. So I end up eating, I eat nothing, or just very, very little. Some fruit. The fruit will remain on my plate, and the rest will all be distributed among the family members and all, everyone. And they're very happy. But sometimes, of course, you distribute everything, it's pouring more. Distribute more. So people get bewildered and confused like that. Because why? No kindness. And why often we also meet Indians say, oh, I'm a guru. I also have a guru. Well, these gurus are often just family gurus. They just come in once a day, do some puja, offer some sweets or whatever, and then distribute to the family, some ghee lamb to the family, and then that's his job done for the day. And that's the guru. Or they do some astrological chart or whatever they do, just different. And the thing I'm already, but here it says that a Vaishnava Padishthena Mantrena Mirayam Vajraje. One who is initiated into mantra by non-Vaishnava go to hell. In fact, both are in delusion. Cheaters and cheated. One is not a bona fide spiritual master, and the other one is just indiscriminately accept anyone as guru. There's no benefit. One has to accept a mantra from a bona fide spiritual master, otherwise the mantra will not have the same effect. Once Prabhupada was doing initiation in India, early days, and there was this one Mataji. She was a principal in a school. So she came up to get her Brahmi initiation, and Prabhupada was going to give her the Gayatri mantra. And she said, Swamiji, I already know Gayatri Mantra. Isn't it in India? Everyone knows Gayatri Mantra. It's an open book. It's not like a secret. He said, Swamiji, I already know Gayatri Mantra. Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. You hear it from me. So one has to receive from a bona fide spiritual master who revealed the essence of the Vedas to the sincere disciple. It has to be revealed. It's not something that you can just learn by reading books. When the spiritual master is pleased, the knowledge is revealed. Yasya Devi Prabhakti, Yasya Devi Prabhakti. I have to refer to my sloka. Yasya Devi Prabhakti, Yatta Devi Tathagura, Tasyaite Kathahyata, Prakashante Mahatmana. So one who has intrinsic faith in the spiritual master, then all the actions of the scriptures will be revealed to him. It becomes very clear. The path becomes very clear. So, like I say, it doesn't matter how one tries to cut it this way, that way, you just cannot avoid the fact that everyone needs a guru. And needs the guidance of a guru. If one thinks that I do not need guru, then he's in delusion. Therefore, It is of utmost importance that one seek out. There are two things one has to do. One has to seek out a bona fide spiritual master. And one has to also learn the art of how to be a bona fide disciple. The onus is not only just on the spiritual master, the onus is also on the disciple to be a bona fide disciple. Then when both are bona fide, then the required result will be there. So I think I end here. We'll leave some time for questions or comments.
Excuse me, Swamiji, for interrupting. Thank you. As I was told when I was growing up to say, after I was corrected for any improper thing, I was told to say, it won't happen again. And that's, it won't happen again, sorry. Anyway, the question I was going to ask was, I have been rescued, first of all, by Srila Prabhupada, but also by all the devotees, and I feel very grateful because I was born in Australia, and without Srila Prabhupada, of course, you know, I was obviously decided I wasn't. Anyway, yes. So my question would be, not to want to usurp my question would be, why is it that Christian people believe that they can eat goldfish? Why is it that Christian people believe they can eat goldfish and Jewish people believe they can eat goldfish as long as they're drowning?
Goldfish?
Yeah.
Eat goldfish?
I've done that.
Well, many people eat all kinds of things.
Yes, that, well, you know, that's what they're saying.
No, the thing is that actually I had a discussion recently with one man from South America who comes regularly to Crossway. And interestingly enough, I mean, it's not very common you meet such person. Although he's a Christian is from South America. Anyway, when we discussed different philosophical points, there was so much in common that you could actually understand that all religion basically teaching the same thing. And that if there's any differences, it's because the teaching has been changed and it's been adulterated. We were in agreement on that point, and I find that, you know, being a staunch Christian himself, I find that interesting. You know, normally when the staunch Christian, they're not open to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he did admit that, you know, so many things has been changed then.
Yeah.
So that is the problem.
Yep.
The reason why there's any conflict in the teachings of different religions is because it has been adulterated.
Yeah. May I ask a follow-up question, please, Swamiji? Given that's the case, and obviously that the advent of the Judaic law, as it's called, given by Moses, who he threw the tablets on the ground and God goes, anyway, that's that. But so Moses, you know, they follow Moses and David, the Jews, right?
I'm not an expert in Christianity.
I'm getting to the point. So, and then you've got this, it's this thing, it's either the Jews or the Christians are the right ones right today. Anyway, my question is, prior to, I think it's about, I don't know the exact year, I think it's 5,800 years roughly since Adam and Eve. Why is it that things have got so bad since then?
Oh, I'll have to give another lecture to answer that. So we leave it at that, and I can talk to you after.
Thank you.
To satisfy your queries, if it's too long. So, any other? Yes.
In China, I think that the devotee should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in particular, personal form of the Lord, the devotee of Lord Krishna. Could you elaborate on that a bit? Like, does that mean the devotee of Lord Vishnu Dev or Lord Vishnu?
Yeah.
More attractive than Shyam? Do they get the same result? Or could you just...
Yeah. Then you won't hear. You have three deities. Some devotees may be more attracted to Jagannath Balaji Subhadra, some more Gaunitai, some Radha Balaji.
So if you're attracted to that worship, then...
Relationship means it's personal. No?
But doesn't it say that when we stand around, all the women, if they worship them, it's like a two armed form of the Shalasandha?
Yeah, that's the supreme form of the Lord. Shubhanga, folding form, Shamasundar.
But they still get the same result even if you meditate on the Shubhanga,
right? As a devotee here, we chant Hare Krishna, we worship Krishna, we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although we may attract to the form of Lord Krishna, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
that is specifically those who worship only Lord Nishinari, because of that Lord Nishinari. The Prabhupada says, you need somebody to worship Krishna and not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We go to both. We join both of them in their pastime.
Okay, I
agree.
So I mean,
you're
worshiping Krishna, not Chaitanya, but you can also still have more
attraction. Yeah, I know devotees who have Nishinari. Like, I think for quite a while, Ayurveda Maharaj, he had a Nishinga deity he was traveling with.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna.
So
it's
wrong if you worship Krishna.
Yeah. Because basically we are Krishna Bhakta, Gauranga Bhakta. Another? Everyone is fired up in America. Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.